Well, good morning. If you want to leave your Bibles open to Deuteronomy chapter 6, that's where we're going to be focusing in our lesson this morning. But I just want to say I am so very, very thankful to be here this morning. And I'm very thankful to show our appreciation to the wonderful ministry that is happening over there at the child care. If you see the big, awesome name tags of all the workers, by the way, those are awesome name tags. If y'all can please keep wearing those so I can learn all of your names, that would be awesome. But those ladies and workers over there do such an amazing job helping make sure all of those young people are taken care of. And not only that, they do such a wonderful job of trying to instill in them a lot of Bible, a lot of Jesus, and all of those different things. And I'm thankful that we as the ministers here get to be a small part of that. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we get to go into that chapel, and for 30 minutes, it seems like our goal is to get them as riled up as possible. That way, they can go into the childcare away from us for the rest of the day. But we are thankful to get to do that and get to be a part of that, and we just are so thankful that we have all of those young people next door to us all day. I mean, there's not a lot of churches in this country that get to have 100 little kids in their building every single day, getting to be, to see all of the things that happen here, and we get to be a part of that. And there are so many people that make that work and make that happen, and we're thankful for that. And that's why we wanted to have a day like today where we get to spotlight that wonderful ministry and everything that is involved with it. I hope that you will stay through Bible class and come eat with us a lot of fried chicken and a lot of other wonderful food, because during that time, we'll also get to hear from Aaron, the director, about all, again, the wonderful things that are happening over there. Now, as I was preparing my lesson for this week, I actually had an entirely different lesson as of Wednesday night, and then Brother Robert got up there and delivered pretty much my sermon that I was going to preach this morning. So he did a wonderful job, and I thought, you know, I might as well bring something that has to do with children and has to do with talking about teaching people and all of these different things. And so that's why we're going to focus in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, as we begin this lesson, I want you to really ponder this statement as we go throughout all of our lesson today. How much I love something will determine my devotion to that something. I want to repeat that. How much I love something, how much I desire something, will determine my devotion to that something. If you think about that statement in relation to this particular verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, as Paul is writing to Timothy in this particular verse, he lets him know, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith. Now, I hope you see how that verse connects to that statement I just made. You see, some people have a love for money, and what Paul is letting Timothy know is that it is a root of all sorts of evil. And notice, those who long for it, those who desire it, those who love it, what happens? They become devoted to it. That becomes the devotion in their life, and because of that, they have wandered away from the faith. If you also think about the story of the Exodus and those people coming out of Egypt, right? Who were they so in love with? Themselves. If you really read through that particular lesson, that particular story of Moses bringing the people out of Egypt, they were all about themselves, all about loving themselves, all worried about themselves. And because of that, as we read through all of that narrative, we find they're devoted to themselves. They're worried about what they're going to eat. They're worried about the water they're going to drink. They're worried about going to the promised land. They're worried about, why did you bring us out of Egypt? They were so in love with themselves that that's what they were devoted to. Because of that, it was very easy for idolatry to come into their camp, because they were worried. If you go into Exodus 32 in that particular area, you'll find that they broke the covenant with God because they were worried that Moses was on the mountain too long. He wasn't down there to take care of them. He wasn't down there tending to all their needs. And because of that, they said, well, let's just make a different God and let's worship that. Let's focus on that. But when you think about this statement also in the positive sense, you think about Jesus. Who did Jesus love the most in this entire world? God, his Father. Now you think about how much love Jesus had for the Father, and you think about a passage like Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, where Jesus is so in love with God, it also is seen through his devotion to God. You see, Jesus was willing to give up being God, and he came down to earth, was made in the image of man, and he was so devoted to his will and doing his will, and he loved the people so much that he was willing to die. He was willing to be obedient all the way to death. And that's what I really want to talk to us this morning, about loving God so much that no matter what God has asked us to do in this life, we want to be obedient to him because we love him so very much. And we're going to talk about this particular idea of teach them diligently. Now, what's interesting is I've been to homeschool conventions that are titled this way, and their whole idea behind this is that they want to teach the kids diligently, and that's great. But what Moses is going to tell us in Deuteronomy 6 is a way bigger message and has way more application to our lives. Now, if you will, follow along with me through this particular text. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, what I want to do is I want to break this up into two pieces. We're going to look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 5 to start, because that's the real big message. And then we're going to follow that up with looking at verses 6 through 9. So if you will, open up your Bibles, or maybe you're already there, and we're going to be breaking down this particular text. I always love it when I walk by and people have color and writing and all of that wonderful stuff in their Bibles. And so if you want to do that, please feel free to make as many notes as possible. So this particular verse starts out with, Hear, O Israel. What a wonderful song, and thank you so much to Cliff for being so intentional with his songs that he picked this morning. Hear, O Israel. That's what is called the Shema. That's the actual Hebrew word. Now, this Hebrew word is really, really cool when you start to look at it, and when you look at it in Deuteronomy itself. It's used 91 times in 82 verses. A lot of times. Now, what's also really cool, and you can do this own study at your house, but when you look at this word in the beginning chapters, oftentimes it's translated as hear and listen. And then once you get later on into these chapters of Deuteronomy, you're going to start seeing the word obey pop up and obedience, because that's what this word means. It means hearing with the intent to obey, listening with the intent to being obedient. We have a Greek word in the New Testament. It's the word akouo, and it has the same idea, where I am listening with the intent on being obedient, right? Now, husbands, there's a lot of times where our wives are trying to tell us something, and we're listening. But there is probably not any ounce of us that is probably understanding what they're saying and for us to be obedient. You always see those reels of husbands where the wife is talking and making plans with them, and then all of a sudden, a week later, they say, hey, we have this planned with us, and we have this event going on tonight, and the husbands are thinking to themselves, I have no idea about that. And all the while, she's saying, well, I told you last week. See, sometimes we struggle to hear with the intent to obey. We struggle to hear and listen with the intent of actually acting upon what's being told to us. My goal each and every Sunday is to preach a message where you will hear and obey it. And now I know there's 100% of the people in here obeying every single message, and I am thankful for that. But this is the same thing. This is what Moses is trying to do. As these children of Israel, this younger generation is now about to inherit the promised land, he's trying to let them know, please listen to what I'm telling you. Don't be like your fathers and the generation before you who had to die in the wilderness. Hear this message and be obedient to it. Now, notice what he wants them to specifically hear. That the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's how the English Standard Version translates this. And now, it's kind of an interesting phrase, and you can go through numerous scholars' material on this particular verse. And what they will often conclude is that Moses is trying to let them know that the Lord is our God, the Lord alone is our God. And what's really cool, if you look at the New Revised Standard Version, or the RSV, they say this at the very end, that the Lord alone is our God. Because that's the message of all of this. And you can use some context to help you. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7, Moses has just re-preached the Ten Commandments to them. And what's the first commandment? Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Why? Because the Lord is our God, him alone. He is our only God. We don't go after these other little g gods. He alone is our God. And that's what he's wanting them to really hear and understand and be obedient to. So now you have verse 5. Because the Lord our God is our God and he alone is our God, here's what you need to do. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might or strength. Now, if you notice, I have a word circled there, and it's a really small word. It's the word all. What does all mean? All. Pretty easy, right? Pretty easy definition to understand. And notice, Moses wants them to make sure they love their God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, and with all of their might. You know, I wonder how many of us give 50% of all of that to God. How easy is a relationship if you are 50% committed to that relationship? Think about it in a marriage. Husbands and wives, if you are 50% committed to your spouse, how great is that relationship going to be? Probably not great at all. Parents, how great is your relationship going to be if you are 50% committed to loving your children? Not going to be a good relationship, and they will call you out on it. How great of a relationship are we going to have with God if we're 50% committed to him? Sometimes in our world today, we want to have our own life, and then we'll have our God life, right? Where we're devoted to him 50% of the time, and then the other 50%, I kind of want to do what I want to do. Can't have that. You see, that was kind of like the children of Israel before this generation. They wanted to have God when they needed him. But when he wasn't there, they were like, hey, we need to still worry about us. Don't be like that. Listen to these words from Moses. We shall love the Lord our God with all of everything that we have. Our hearts, our souls, and our might. You see, the heart is the idea of our mind, our rational thinking, what we think about. We need to love the God with all of our thinking. Then you think about the soul, that's our inner being. We need to love God with all of ourself. And then in our strength, our physical selves, we need to love God. Love God with everything you have is what he's trying to start this out at. And then he goes on to say, in verses 6-9, as we try to understand what this big lesson is for us today, we need to understand this. Our obedience to God stems from our love for God. If you've ever understood why you struggle maybe in your obedience to what God has told you, maybe we need to look at how much you truly love him. If you look at children and their love for their parents, they're willing to listen to them. I know sometimes they don't look like they're listening, but they love their parents so much they're willing to be obedient to them. How much do we love God? How willing are we to love him with everything that we have? Because if we are, whatever he asks us to do won't matter. We'll want to do it because we love him so much, because our obedience to God stems from our love for God. Now notice, as he gets into this, he goes into verse 6 and he says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Now notice, he starts to use this pronoun, them and they, right? And notice what he does in verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." The them there are those words that Moses was talking about. And those words have reference to, yes, all of the commands, but specifically that you should love the Lord your God with everything that you have. You shall love the Lord your God with everything. And then you need to teach that same message to your children diligently. And diligently has the idea, it's a really cool definition when you start to dive deep into it. It has the idea of chiseling something into rock, into stone. That's how you should teach children the words of God. Like you are trying to chisel something permanently into stone. And then, not only that, what else you should do with these words is that you should talk of them all the time. When you're sitting down, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Now, what's interesting about those is Moses intended that to be a metaphor, but the Jews later on took that very literally and physically. They would have, and if you've ever seen a Jewish person in modern days, they would have things wrapped around their arms with a little box. And that box contained the law, the Torah. And then maybe sometimes you would see somebody with it wrapped around their heads and there would be a box right between their eyes. What are those are called are phylacteries. And they would contain the words of the Torah in those boxes, literally trying to carry out what Moses is talking about here. The idea is you need to be all in for God, and his word needs to be all in you. So that when you're walking by the way, you're telling people about God. When you're sitting in your house, you're telling people about God. When you rise in the morning, you're telling yourself about God. When you go to bed at night, you're telling yourself about God. They would do this two times a day. They would say that Shema two times a day, when they rose and when they went to bed. Now, what you'll also notice in here is there's a cool progression that happens. Notice, who is supposed to be taught these words first? I am. So when you think about teaching them diligently, teaching these words of God, teaching ourselves to love the Lord God with everything, we need to start there, right? I need to love God with all of my heart first. And then I can go to who? My children. I want to make sure you understand you have to love God with all of your heart first before you start telling your kids to do that. You know why? Because kids are brutally honest, and they will call you out if you are not loving God with all of your heart. There are some times when I talk with people and they're very excited about coming back to church, but the main thing that they're worried about is they want to get their children into a great youth program. That's awesome, and that's wonderful. But then they'll tell me, you know, I'm too far gone. I need to worry about my kids now. No. That's not how this works. You need to love God with all of your heart. Because if you love God with all of your heart, your children are going to see that. Yes, they'll get to learn from a wonderful youth minister that Cliff is and wonderful Bible class teachers that we have here. But if mom and dad at home aren't totally devoted to God, it's not going to change anything. We need to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and our minds and our strength, because then our kids will see that and they will want to do the same thing. And then when we start teaching them audibly all the words of God, they're going to say, you know what? Mom and dad are totally devoted. Grandma and grandpa are totally devoted to God. I can definitely tell they love him with everything they have, and I want to be like that. I want to have that love. Then once we have accomplished that, we love the Lord God with everything we have. Our kids are starting to love the Lord God with everything they have. Then let's go to the world. Let's go to our workplaces. Let's go to our neighbors down the road. Let's go into all the different convenience stores that we go into and just let people know how much we love God. And we need to try and teach the world that very message, but it all starts with my love for Him. Because if I love God with everything that I have, I will be obedient to Him no matter what He asks of me. Because my obedience will stem from my love for Him. And I want to make sure we understand that statement before we go into the rest and the end of this lesson. Our obedience to God stems from our love for God. I need to love God with everything that I have because He is such a wonderful God and a wonderful God to be praised. Now, I want you to follow along with this story with me that I found as I was studying for this particular lesson. Every day at 3 p.m., a frail old man would shuffle his way down the hallway of Rosewood Care Center, his hand trembling on the handle of his walker. He would make his way to the large bay window at the end of the corridor, where the light poured in golden and warm. There he would sit on the wooden bench, always on the left side, and he would wait. The nurses all knew his name, Thomas Bennett, age 84. A Korean War veteran, a retired mechanic, and a man of few words. Every day for the last 2 years, he made that slow journey to the window. He never missed it, not for storms, not for sickness, not even when his arthritis was screaming, because at 3:15, his wife Eleanor would arrive. But here's the part that gripped everyone's heart. Eleanor had Alzheimer's, and she hadn't remembered who Thomas was in 4 years. Each day, she'd be wheeled in by her caregiver, and each day, her eyes would scan the room, puzzled. And Thomas would smile, take her hand in his, and say, "Hello, Ellie. You look beautiful today." Sometimes, she'd smile back. Sometimes, she'd frown or look away, but Thomas never stopped coming, never stopped showing up, never stopped loving her like she remembered everything. And one day, a young nurse, watching the routine unfold, finally asked him, "Mr. Bennett, why do you come if she doesn't even remember who you are?" And he looked out the window for a moment and replied softly, "Because I remember who she is." That was all. It wasn't dramatic, it wasn't loud, but it's a statement that I hope we will apply to our remembrance of God. Remember what God has done for you in this life, how He has taken care of you, how He has caused you to be a new creation. And because of that, grow your love for Him. Be willing to be there whenever He wants you to be there. Love Him with all that you have. I want to ask you a question. How much do you love God this morning? How much are you in love with Him? Do you love Him with everything that you have? Or have you just been 50%? An exercise I would like for us to do this week, and our Wednesday afternoon class has already done this for a week, so bonus lesson, here you go. You get to do it again for an entire week. In your bulletins, I hope you're able to grab one. Thankfully, Crystal put all of these little cutouts in there for you. And the idea is to take this Shema home and apply it to your life. In the blank, I want you to fill in your name. And I want you to make this a practice for your entire family. And what you're going to do is 2 times a day until next Sunday, you're going to say this very Shema. "Hear, O Matt, the Lord is my God, the Lord alone. I, Matt, shall love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind." Say that in the morning and say that in the evening. What a wonderful way to start your day talking about how much I'm going to love God. And a wonderful way to end your day talking about how much I'm going to love God. I hope that you will do that with me, and you may be saying, "Why do we have to just go until next Sunday?" Great. Keep going. Go all the way through the end of your life. This is such a wonderful activity that we can do each and every day, and it'll also be a great way to teach our young people how much we love God. Maybe you're here this morning and you are in need of asking for prayers. Maybe you're one of those 50% people. You haven't been showing God your true love. And you want to ask for prayers that we can encourage you this morning, we would love to pray with you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to become a child of God, and you see throughout the New Testament that the way to obey his commands, to earn, to be a part of this family of God, to become a child of God, you see that we are to believe that his son came and he died and he was the son of the living God. We need to change our lives. We need to repent of the things that we have done and confess Jesus as our Lord. And then we see also that New Testament Christians went, before they became a Christian, they would go through this water, this grave, to have their sins washed away so that they could be connected back to God. Maybe this morning is the morning you need to have your sins washed away in baptism. We would love for that to happen. But we ask that if you have any need, whatever it may be, you come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.